This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining me in the studio this afternoon, Howard Wilkinson. Hi, Howard.
Hello.
About 25% of major league pitchers today have had Tommy John surgery. The procedure to repair a damaged elbow is named for the pitcher who first underwent the surgery in 1974. Dr. Tim Kremchek of Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is currently in his 18th season as the Reds Medical Director and Chief Orthopedic Surgeon, and he's performed more than 1,500 Tommy John surgeries in his 21 years as an orthopedic surgeon, and he joins us to discuss the procedure and the growing concern that too many young athletes are undergoing the surgery. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, Dr. Kremchek. Thank you for being here with us.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. Very well, good. Thank you. Tommy John surgery, also known as ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction, I think is the technical name for it. What does that procedure involve, Dr. Kremchek?
Well, what it is, on the inside part of your elbow, there's a ligament that actually stabilizes your elbow. And the procedure is when that ligament becomes insufficient, torn, painful, what happens is that you have to take a tendon and transplant it to the inside part of that ligament. So you have to reconstruct it. Very similar to an anterior cruciate ligament in the knee, where you take a tendon and you transplant it into the inside part of the knee, let it heal, and then hopefully over time that tendon will become the new ulnar collateral ligament. That's Tommy John surgery.
And this is named after, I think it was a Dodgers pitcher who blew out his elbow in a game in 1974. He was 31 at the time. That surgery, it was extremely effective for him, wasn't it?
It was. It was the first time that it was performed on a Major League Baseball player, and there were a lot of complications that came with it. And the late Dr. Frank Job tells the story eloquently, and I got to meet Tommy John a couple of years ago, and we went through the entire process that he went through. It was eerily similar to the procedure and the post-operative course that we do now. But Tommy was able to come back and win over 200 games and pitch for a number of seasons. And he had a very successful career after his procedure.
I think he was 46.
So many people having it done now. If you have that problem with your elbow, Sandy Koufax had it and was unable to come back because they didn't have the operation. Guys now that have this injury have the operation and come back at very, very high percentage rates, in the high 80s and low 90% rates that come back, to pitch at the same level as they did prior to them getting injured.
Dr. Kremchek, I know you have a concern about the fact that there's so many now very young amateur players, even kids, 12, 13 years old, whose parents are seeking a surgery.
I do. It's at an alarming rate. And the problem is, and we did a documentary that they actually invited. I had a film crew that called us and asked my marketing director, Jane Walker, if they could come down and talk to us and learn more about this. And they included myself and Dr. James Andrews, who was in Birmingham, who's now in Pensacola, and happens to be my mentor where I trained 21 years ago. The problem with it is not the number of procedures that are being done. The problem is those number of procedures can be reduced because we have ways to help diminish the rate of arm injuries in these young kids. We have ways to help prevent, not everybody, but we understand why this is happening now. And it's scary that people aren't listening to us, and it's going to continue to be a problem for these youngsters that want to continue in baseball.
Dr. Kremchek, you got kids being drafted to the major leagues out of high school now who are throwing, mid-90s, who've thrown a lot of pitches coming up. And are these kids going to be bound for Tommy John surgery someday?
That's a great question. And we do know some of the criteria that we like to use to help protect the arms. For example, number of pitches thrown, consecutive months playing baseball. When I played baseball years ago, we used to play in late May, June, and up to early July, right? 17, 18, 19 games at the most. Now these kids are playing 100 and some games, traveling every weekend, and at the end of the season, switching teams or playing on multiple teams to go to the playoffs. And we know that the overuse and abuse to these youngsters at a young age may not manifest themselves when they're 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, but probably manifest themselves 5 or 6 years later. And that's the scary part. And we know that throwing too many pitches, throwing curveballs and breaking balls too young, playing multiple positions, too many showcases. We know that playing with fatigue has a significantly higher rate of injury. And if you're a youngster and you're in high school and you throw the ball over 90 miles an hour, you've got about a 2,500% chance of having some type of injury that's going to necessitate surgery to your arm.
You know, I coached knothole baseball in Cincinnati for some years. Kids, you know, all the way from T-ball all the way through, you know, the upper levels. We had strict pitch limits and also very strict limits on how often the kids could pitch, and a rule that said no breaking balls. Is that the way to try to minimize the future damage?
No question. There's no question about it that you are right on doing that. And knothole, for the most part, is pretty good about it.
Right.
However, once you start getting to these competitive leagues and these competitive teams, and they're playing for playoffs, and they've got sponsorship money, and you know the drive to go to the next level to play, whether it's the right high school or college, or you know even the professional ranks, they don't listen to those rules, and they really turn a deaf ear to what you're trying to say, and they try to rationalize. And that's the problem we're running into. I mean, I take Little League Baseball, for example, the Little League World Series. For right. years, they went back and they said, okay, we know that throwing curveballs at age 12 are detrimental because most of these young boys are not mature enough. Yet when the politics came and the television came and all of a sudden they had a World Series, you can't turn that TV on now without watching these kids throw breaking balls every other pitch or two out of three.
You said,
and they're going to rationalize, say, well, there's no 100% research that shows that if you throw breaking balls before the age of 13 that you're going to have problems. Really? I stopped watching Little League World Series after that. Too
right?
much politics, too much money, and we're putting our kids at risk.
Well, you know, I was struck by one of the things that you said in the documentary when you said you can sit here and list the top 20 players in the 6th and 7th grades in the country. That's because you've seen some of these kids.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad when you can take a youngster and you know where they are in the 7th or 8th grade. And then you put that push on to that desire to go to the next level. You have parental pressure, peer pressure, coaching pressure, league pressure, even sponsor pressures for kids that are 7th and 8th grade. And that's not just for baseball. That's for soccer. That's for basketball. Now kids are being told, hey, I don't want you to play another sport. You've got to concentrate on this sport if you're going to be able to progress and go where you want to go. And we're finding out now that playing these sports for 10, 11 months out of the year will ultimately catch up on these kids and cause further damage, rather than playing multiple sports, using other muscles, using other activities that are going to make you an overall better athlete and give some parts, for example, your arm as a throwing athlete, a chance to rest and to heal. Now they're playing 10 or 11 months out of the year. How are they not going to break down?
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Dr. Tim Kremchek. If you'd like to join the conversation, 513-419-7100, the phone number to call. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dr. Kremchek, this season, if I'm not mistaken, we're on a record pace for the number of Tommy John surgeries in the majors. And I'm wondering, does that have a trickle-down effect when young athletes see their favorite players having this done and they start to think, hey, this is not a big deal at all?
Oh, I think that's one of the biggest problems we have is the misconception about the level of operation, the level of injury, the amount of rehab that goes afterwards, and really the chances of not coming back. They see their stars having this done and then come back a year later or 10 months later and they're playing and they think, yeah, this is no big deal. I'll have it done. I will tell you that the younger these players have Tommy John surgery, the less chance they have of making it to the major leagues and the professional ranks. I'm not saying they don't, and I've had some kids that do. but the numbers and the percentages are very low.
Why is
our best way to help our youngsters, to help the game of baseball and help them play the way we want them to play it for as long as they want to play, is to moderate some of these leagues, to protect our kids, to allow them to not, you know, get hurt 4, 5, or 6 years, probably at the most formidable time when they want to play at a high level, college or even a professional ranks. We can do it. We just have to listen. And you're right. This number of players in the major leagues that have had it done has basically set the alarm off, and it made it a media frenzy as to why is this happening. And so in many ways, it could be a good thing that this is done so we can get the word out and people will listen to us and hopefully respond in a positive way. And you can't respond player to player, team to team. It's got to be a league-wide response because it's unfair for one team to have an unfair advantage over another team. I don't believe in that at all.
Is it true that, I mean, there are parents of 12- and 13-year-old kids coming in when the kid has really no symptoms seeking the surgery? Does that happen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I've had general managers of baseball teams ask me to do Tommy John procedures on players because they want to make them better. And the answer to that is yes, many of them do come back and they throw harder and they're better pitchers. But it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact of us fixing the UCL or the ulnar collateral ligament. It has to do with that 9, 10, 11, 12 months of hard work to build their shoulder, their core muscles, their throwing program, things that these gifted athletes really have never had to do before. So now you take a gifted athlete and you put them in a regimen of rehabilitation, strengthening to get their bodies strong and toned up and ready to throw. They're obviously going to become better players and better pitchers. But you don't just take somebody who's asymptomatic with no symptoms or pain or difficulty at all and operate on them. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions about this operation, and it's guys like me that have to say, no, you do not need this operation. Yeah, I've had people come in and say, well, I don't want to try rehab. Just go ahead and fix it. I won't do that. I won't. And unfortunately, I'm the only guy around this area that does a considerable number of these. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a little bit in a catbird seat because I don't want somebody else to just do the operation to do it. I want it done for the right reasons. This means an awful lot to me.
Dr. Kremchuk, do you view this problem as an epidemic?
Oh, there's no question about it. It is an epidemic. I mean, and it's an epidemic because not only the procedures are being done, but the abuse and the way we turn our heads as a baseball society to how we can prevent it. And look, we talk about child abuse all the time, and I know I'm going a little strong with this, but if you know that we can prevent an injury to a youngster, and you get him out there playing because he's your best player just to win games at the ages of 12, 13, 14, and 15 years old, do you not call that child abuse? I do.
But what with some of these high school kids, what gets them noticed by major league scouts is velocity. How hard can they throw the ball? And I would imagine that there are some of these parents who look at it and say, well, you know, if he had this surgery, he's going to come back and he's going to be stronger and he's going to throw harder. And, you know, it's the pathway to the major leagues. But that is just not necessarily the case.
It is absolutely not the case. And again, I think one of the jobs that we have as an orthopedic surgeon and in sports medicine is not just to do surgery. It's to understand the sport, understand what these kids want, and basically educate. And it's not just the parents and the kids. We have to educate the coaches. You said you were a knothole coach. I take my hat off to you. I love, typically they're parents that want to contribute, that want to help. In the knothole area, they're all ears. They will do anything they can to protect these kids. It's not about winning and losing, even though you go out to try to win as much as you can. It's about developing kids and wanting them to play and getting them to do something in the summer, the teamwork, the camaraderie, all the things that we grew up knowing sports do.
Right, and not whole.
But when we get to some of these traveling teams and teams that are cutting kids and bringing new kids in at the end of the summer, at win-win-win at all costs, no matter what it takes and to matter what expense, and basically turn your head to some of the ideas and that we realize that are going to be able to prolong somebody's career for an instant win or a successful season, That's where we have problems. And unfortunately, those teams and those programs are becoming much more common. And you're exactly right. Those are the teams that the scouts go watch because they're very competitive leagues.
And those leagues, you know, kids are getting into those things. Is it an all year round thing? I mean, and is it just warm weather climates that this happens?
Well, the warm weather climates have a problem because they can go outside more. But even in this area, they're year round programs. I mean, these competitive teams, and again, I think it's great in many regards. These teams, they play at a high level. They've got high skill levels. Many of these kids go off and get college scholarships. And it's different than what it used to be. The colleges don't look at the way you play in high school anymore, at least around here. They look at these summer teams and these teams where all of these very, very successful athletes are playing all summer, multiple leagues, multiple tournaments around the country. So, but these are not just spring and summer. These kids start going back and they play fall ball. Yeah. They condition and play indoor in the wintertime. They're playing full go baseball in January and February until they're ready to get done with their school season. And then they're ready to hit it hard at the end of April and early May, all the way up until the middle of August. And then they start fall ball in September. So it's not, there's no turnoff. It's 10 and a half to 11 months a year of baseball, which again is very detrimental.
Well, I have a couple of my former kids who are up at that stage now, and that's exactly what they're doing, and I kind of worry about them.
You know, I worry about that too. And Scott Rowland, who played third base for the Reds, and I got to know him extremely well when he was with the Cardinals and with the Reds, and he actually had a scholarship to play basketball for Bobby Knight in Indiana. And he was a very, very good basketball player in high school in the Bloomington area, so somewhere up there. And he told me the best thing he ever did for his baseball career was to play basketball, because it used different muscles, different skill sets, made him a better athlete, and it gave him the mental break from the stress and the pressure of playing high-level baseball. You know, we've talked about the physical fatigue and the problems that can come with playing baseball as much as these youngsters do, but what about the mental fatigue? The stress that these kids get under to win and play and play hard and stay in condition for all these months, it mentally would drain you. I would think that would turn kids off by the time they got to be 17 or 18 years old.
Dr. Kremchuk, we've got about a minute left here. You're an avid baseball fan and someone who really supports the game, so I know you wouldn't do anything to jeopardize the sport or the athletes who play it, so I take you very seriously on this topic. How do we get parents and coaches and the players themselves to take this issue more seriously?
Well, we have to show them the facts. We have to show them it's not what they're doing now that's going to show up as far as a physical ailment that's going to portray itself in 5 or 6 years. We have to make them understand that we have this research. These are things we are looking at, and it's not pay me now, it's pay me later. And as soon as we can get the words out to these organizations, and I think there's many people that want to hear this and many people that want to develop a lot of these rules, we have to break the politics of this organized competitive baseball, and we have to get the word out mostly to the parents, because the parents are our biggest advocates. They don't want to see the kids hurt in 4 or 5 years. They want to see them progress their career. Sometimes we have to bypass the coaches, but the parents, if we can get the word out to them, they're going to be our biggest supporters and help us carry on this goal to protect our kids. They can still play, but let's play under equal rules for all teams and all leagues and allow these kids to decrease the injury rate that's going to jeopardize their careers.
Dr. Kremchuk, thank you for joining us this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I love your show. You guys do a tremendous job.
Thank you very much. Cincinnati Reds Medical Director and Chief Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Tim Kremchuk of Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Also, WVXU's Howard Wilkinson joined us in the studio.